Welcome to Social Chameleon Podcast, episode 12. We had Callum Lawson. He spoke about his tough beginning as a pro, his experiences in Iceland, great start for Great Britain's men's basketball World Cup qualifiers, and his future plans after basketball. We are brought to you by Crystal, Liggett, and Subway. I hope you enjoy. Hello to all, and welcome back to Social Chameleon Podcast for episode 12. You're here with Dominikus Milka, my co-host Davith. How are you, Davith?
I am fabulous. How are you? I saw on your story you had a little bit of a mishap this morning.
I'm happy to be alive. You know, it was for the first time ever driving, I got into a car accident. I mean, then again, I wasn't technically driving because I wasn't moving at that point, so... What happened was I was heading out in the morning to get some shots up and I pulled up in one of the roundabouts and it was really icy. It was just, you know, little snowy calf and it's icy. And I pulled up and 2 seconds later, I feel like a bump. I'm like, first thing, I'm like, wait, did I hit something? Did I miss the bump? They're like, what happened? And then I look back, I see a guy is getting out of his car. I'm like, oh man, he hit me. And then I look back, you know, then the guy is like, oh, I'm so sorry, this and that, like what are we going to do? And he's like, Polish guy, and I'm Lithuanian guy. Both of us have no idea what's the procedure. I'm like, do we call 112? Like, what do you do? And, like, I called one of the board members, like, hey, just, if you guys both agree, you don't need a police, and that, but, like, fill out the form. I'm like, what form? Oh, it should be in your glove compartment. So I'll look for the form, and it's all Icelandic. I'm like, okay, I have no idea what says anything. So I'm like, I told the guy, hey, can we just go to the police station? He goes, yeah, sure. He called his job, you know, and then we went to the police station. The officers were really helpful to help us figure out how to fill out the thing. And actually, he wrote on a comment on the bottom, goes, the guy who hit me goes, it was all my fault. Like, did the guy,
oh,
the guy's fault? Not my, no, he did it.
Oh, yeah.
Not me, like, but, so it was like a little mishap.
Yeah. But 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, getting shots up.
Tom, I mean,
are you in beast mode or what you would
beast mode? I'm trying to make some layups and yeah. Some shots. I got last game. I got, you know, I got one of the more important layups.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you just gotta, you know, we have a break. Of course, we have a break now. We don't have games, but that's when you kind of wanna hone your craft, kind of, you know, get in the gym, get some shots up. Okay, so we can go, you know, me and you can talk for a while, but I would like to introduce our guest. So our guest today is one of the hardest working guys on the court, on and off the court, and he's a deadly shooter, and he has deadly good smile. He has very nice smiles, I know. So this guy is Callum Lawson. How are you, Callum?
Thank you for the introduction. I'm doing good. Happy to be here. I know we've been talking about it for a while, trying to get me on here.
Yeah, so. I told you. Yeah.
Since you announced it, I've been trying to get on here. So yeah. Happy to be here.
Of course. You know, you're one of the guys that I always enjoyed talking to and being my teammate, you know, 2 years ago and competing against. It's fun to, you know, talk to guys that you like to talk to.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you, okay, going on the accident, have you had any car accidents before? Have you ever got into any traffic?
No, luckily nothing like that. The only thing I can think of is, you know, thank God, just being on the road by myself. But the same thing with the ice.
Mm.
The ice will get you. That black ice, you know, not knowing about it. So luckily there was no other cars around, but I've definitely skidded once or twice on these roads.
Yeah, especially in Iceland. It's kind of like, oh yeah, weather is nice, you know, you might leave. Oh wait, it's -2 and your car always beeps. My car beeps. I'm like, oh, it's +4. It's fine. Oh wait, no, never mind. It can get scary. David, have you got into anything like that?
Yeah, I've not a car crash like Callum said, but I think I once drove over like a thing that parts the road.
Oh, like the bump, speed bump.
No. Like,
oh, okay, never mind.
I basically slid like 50 meters or something, and up on a curb or something. Luckily, no one there. Yeah. And
Speaking of that, last year I was speaking with
You feel so powerless when you slide under the ice.
Yeah, control it.
You're like, wait, okay, how can I avoid if there's a person in front or something? You try going to a snowbank or something. I have a couple of stories with that too. When I was playing in Estonia, we drove this Berlingo, Citroen Berlingo, like old school car.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a stick shift. So nobody could drive except one American. So it was four of us. We had to share the car. So nobody, you know, I don't know how to drive it. So, and it had really, really bad brakes. And I still had some, I think, summer tires. So we go in from the lunch spot and it was just snow. There's a lot of snow all over. And our guy who was driving was not paying attention that much. And the red light came on and he started like pressing on the brake, but he started sliding and he got into like, he had two choices, either go into a car or into a snowbank. So he got into the snowbank. So we just went into the snowbank. We just like people are looking at us like we crazy and he just pulled out. So it was like not that much happened, like no damage to a car, nobody died, but it's kind of like it could be really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Or now I thought about another story. It's going to be Dom talking again. No, but when I play in Japan, we're not used to driving on the right side of the road. Like in England, Colin, right? You guys drive on the opposite side of the road than most of the world. In Japan, they do as well.
Mm.
So one of the first weeks, we pull up out of like, we got some food. We take out, we go against the traffic. All the Japanese people started going, peeping at us. And then the second they saw us, like two black guys and a big guy in the back of the car, oh, they're athletes. Okay, they have no idea. They start beeping. We just like try to make sure we, you know, follow the laws and rules, but it takes a while to get used to. It's different. And yeah, how was for you to drive in the States? Like, because you used to driving on the right side of the road and then you went to the States.
So here's the thing. I didn't really learn to drive back home. So my first time driving was in the States. So I guess I learned there and then had to bring it over here, you know.
Yeah, that's...
So little opposite, but yeah.
Do you drive stick shift or do you drive...
I'm capable
of driving stick
shift. You know, little rusty at first, but I would prefer automatic I had the choice.
So much better automatic. People are like, no, you got to feel the power. Like, no, I don't need to feel the power. I need to be comfortable so I can concentrate. I can have my one hand on the wheel or two hands on the wheel, drive properly, drive safe. Two hands always at 10 and 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we move on, I'm going to start this little new thing, like a quick fire question icebreaker. Yeah. So try to answer quickly with your first thought or first choice, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, don't look at my... Okay, he's looking at my notes. He's cheating. Okay, PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Favorite streaming service?
Netflix.
Favorite basketball player?
Giannis.
Okay. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Which subject were you worst at school?
Science.
Best subject in school?
P is an easy one, so I'm not going to say that. English.
Okay. But okay, Queen's English, right? Because you guys learned
right,
that.
Right, a little different.
Okay, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Do you have any tattoos?
I don't. No tattoos.
Who's your favorite teammate in Iceland? Or who has been your favorite teammate in Iceland?
It's a hard question.
It is a hard question. That's not a quick fire question.
Yeah. It's a quick... That's the idea. Quick fire. You got a first thought.
One answer.
One, yeah.
Dean Williams.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, but also, Dean doesn't count because you knew him before Iceland.
Okay, so. Okay.
Okay, let's get some...
Open it up a little bit. Hussey.
Okay. Oh, of course he has to say Hussey. I love Hussey too because he passes the ball. You always love the guy who averages the most assists in the league and hopefully he's on your team. What's your hobby?
Watching a lot of sports in my free time, trying to get, you know, the vlog and that YouTube side of it going, the media side too. So, just figuring it out.
Last year I saw you start the video blog. I'm like, damn, I gotta start something too. So I started the podcast, you know. So
I mean, we have a lot of free time, so
you do.
I want to be productive and not, you know, go through every show on Netflix.
Listen, I've been playing, like, this is my eighth season playing pro, and this is, like, only first season that I'm actually, like, have stuff to do during the day.
Yeah.
So, first 5-6 years, I have seen most movies and most Netflix shows, and because you can binge watch a show within, like 2 days, three days, because you have six. And people are like, how can you watch so many shows? I'm like, because my job is, I work for 4 hours a day, technically, because you have 2 a day practices, but then in between and before you have so much time. Okay. Yeah. Favorite team to play against in the Subway League?
Good question. Currently, it's Kef.
Okay.
Yeah. Kef with
it. Yeah, because you got the little, you know, you always, like, do you like the fans? What is it about Kef?
I think it's just competing every time. You know, of course, Kef was my first team in Iceland, which I'm sure we'll get to. But yeah, just being back there or playing that Kef fan base, playing the Kef team. It's always been good teams, you know, since I've been here. So I just find like every game's a competitive one.
Hardest player to guard in the Subway League? For you personally.
Hardest player to guard this season.
Sure.
Let me think.
No, don't think quickly.
Well, no one's in my mind right now. No one's in my mind. Hardest player to guard. I like the... there's a few.
So name them. Just go on.
Right, I like on. The Njervik two guard.
Yeah, the...
Regati.
Yeah. Ricciotti.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. Course, a lot of experience. You're a tough cover, tough to guard. Give you someone else. Grindavik's big.
Ivan?
Yeah, strong. Mm. He's strong. Really okay, tough.
Do you find, because you kind of like in between a guard and a big, or like a big, like, you know, do you find bigs easier to guard? Or like, which one is easier for you to guard? Which ones are harder? Like the guards? Or the bigs? Because I figured there's two different challenges.
Yeah, two completely different. Like with the guards, it's the, you know, the speedy guards, like the Basil.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it's,
who's like one move and he's
super
like
quick. Viable. Yeah, super quick, which can be a struggle. But like I said, with Ivan, just a big body, strong, physical, he's going to, you know, beat you up the whole game. So they both pose different challenges.
Favorite TV show?
Oh, Friends. Friends for sure.
You like Friends?
Oh. Yeah, it's the best show ever made.
Debatable. I've seen like maybe 5 episodes, so I don't know. What team do you support in the Premier League?
Arsenal. Arsenal fan, yeah.
Okay. Saw the game today?
I did. Yeah. Great win.
What advice would you give your younger self? Buy Bitcoin.
It's not a quick hitter.
Buy Bitcoin.
Well, yeah, but... No, in terms of basketball, I would just say, just never give up. I feel like I would tell that to any, you know, any youth basketball player. There's going to be a lot of challenges, a lot of shit thrown your way. So just push through it, push through the adversity.
And the last one, who's your inspiration and why? See, I left the good ones.
That is a good one.
Longer talking ones for later, you know?
I like it. Yeah, no, it's definitely just family and friends. My mom, brother, just all the people closest to me, because that's kind of what keeps me going, especially being over here. So, yeah, definitely my inspiration.
Yeah, I think that's one of the toughest part of being like a pro athlete is being away from your family.
Yeah.
Like, and like, you know, especially during COVID times, you know, especially during COVID times or when they're going, if your family going through something tougher, and then it can actually affect you in your game. And like, and you can like, and then if even after the game, like, oh, you had a bad game, and they're going to ask, hey, what happened? Like, yeah, you don't want to, first of all, you want to make an excuse, because we athletes, or at least I personally don't want to make an excuse, and I know you don't ever make an excuse. Hey, I was shitty today. Hey, you know, you're not going to be like, yeah, because of this.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to also put your family kind of on the stage where maybe it's a family matter, or maybe it's something you don't want to share to the world, right?
Of course.
But who are you going to be able to talk to? Like, most likely nobody. But you're going to hear on the news, or you hear from the fans, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. Right. Like,
yeah, it can get difficult, you know. We don't show our personal lives too much, and, you know, people don't really know what's going on in everybody's personal life. So just have to... be kind, as they always say. Always be kind, and just know, like, there's probably everyone goes through something, you know. Everyone's always going through something, so just be aware of that.
And the older I get, the more I'm like, hey, like, don't judge like a person by like whatever, unless you can walk a mile in their shoes. You don't know what they went through, and everyone has a story to tell.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and people go through tough times, and it doesn't have to be in athletics and anything. People go through tough times, especially in Iceland. It gets dark really quick and really long for a while. And, you know, people tend to, you know, get into dark things.
Yeah.
Okay, moving forward. Okay, yeah, we're getting dark already. Okay, let's keep this for the end of the podcast. Okay, so you grew up in England. How is growing up in England as a basketball player? Because it's such a predominantly like soccer, football.
Oh, yeah.
And like even basketball isn't the main sport. You have rugby, I'm assuming, is big.
Rugby, cricket's big. Cricket. Yeah. So growing up, I was a football player. You know, I didn't really play my first competitive season until I was 14. So yeah, I was, you know, just like any other youth kid.
So you first you go up, to football. Yeah.
Yeah, football. And then moving to secondary school, like high school, the next school, you know, I picked up a basketball and a coach there, Mr. Garvey, kind of put the basketball in my hands. And I just always wanted to get better and fell in love with the game at that point, I think.
Yeah, and it's so tough to make it in football in UK, right? Especially by 14, they know, okay, you, yes. If you're not in when I played in Geneva, one of our board's members, son was a scout for Arsenal or Liverpool, one of those. And actually that when I was there, they played, there was a youth tournament, like U16 tournament, and Real Madrid team played, the other Atletico played, and a couple other teams. And we were talking, and his son was around, and I'm talking to his son, but they're like, yeah, but usually by 13, 14, we know if you are the it. Like, because right. Usually they start recruiting at like 8, 9.
Yeah,
and crazy. They kind of can see now because the pyramid and everything. Yes, you're going to be hit some misses. But like by 14, 15, right. You're like, hey, a pro, okay, he's not going to make it.
Do
like,
something else.
Exactly. Yeah. Try basketball, especially in England, you know, because England isn't like a basketball first.
Were you any good at football?
I like to think so, but, you know.
Are you better than Dean Williams?
Oh, kind of
what position trouble. You play?
I was a midfielder. Mm. So I started, maybe I got a little too tall for my position, you know. And of course, there was a lot of kids that were just naturally better and, you know, would really work at that. So, yeah, I made the switch to basketball. Yeah. I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, do you think your experience in soccer helped you, like, to move faster or get faster into basketball?
Yeah, I was just talking about this, actually. I think the footwork is such a big part of basketball. And I think I learned a lot of footwork and all of that from football at an early age. And just being active, you know, being active as a kid and trying different sports.
If you actually look at football and basketball, it's a very similar sport because you have like pass and cut, move in space, triangle, like move triangles, you can set screens. You need to work with teammates, communication. It's all, it's play with your feet and one is with the hands and the court is smaller. But the idea of it's all, it's two goals and one ball.
Right.
Same in basketball, two goals and one ball. Find a way to score while using your team. Like, it's very similar concept and it's a game and you can transition, like, move, like I said, moving in space, like basketball, cutting. In soccer, cutting, like when to cut and timing, because, you know, if you come too early, you offsides, you can't score. Same in basketball. If you're too early, that's bad. If you're too late, that's also bad. You're not open. Mm-hmm. So I think playing, like, it's more similarities than most people could probably think, because obviously it's one is play inside, outside. And so, and did you play any other sports like cricket? Have you ever played cricket? That's a one game that I never played and I only seen it played in like a, by Indian and Pakistanis in New York City.
Yeah.
And they go so crazy. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. It looks like baseball, but it's not baseball.
Right.
It's like a Commonwealth sport.
Yeah. Hugely popular, though. Hugely popular.
In all the countries that are controlled by England at one point? all of those countries?
Exactly.
Exactly.
No, never really tried it. The only time would be like PE in school. You know, we did cricket, badminton, all the other sports.
All the other sports.
Yeah, it's hugely popular in the UK.
Are you excited about UK beating Greece earlier this week? Like, you know, it was a FIBA World Qualifier. That's a kind of, in my opinion, that's a big step for English basketball.
Yes, that was a huge win. Huge win. It shows, you know, we're moving in the right direction and good things are happening over there.
Mm. But England or the UK has been on the come up for the last 5 or 10 years, I'd say, right?
Yeah, it's growing, and we have the right people part of the team now, right people coaching, so it's an exciting time for Great Britain.
I think it was like big on a come up when Luol Deng and Ben Gordon played. Mm. And then since, because those are such a big names, I was in both NBA mm-hmm. All-Stars, I'm guessing, right? Like, I think both have been All-Stars.
Had John Amici as well earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think for like took it like a break a little bit, like, because, you know, it's not like, because when you, those two guys leave, then England's like, oh yeah, England, we'll play England. But I think now it's better to see like there's, because England has a lot of athletes. You just got to force them, you know, like put them in basketball, put more money. Hey, it takes, you know, 5% away from soccer, put it into basketball and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think it'll be
more opportunity,
yeah. More kids. But okay, oh wait, I don't have to be a footballer. Footballer.
Yeah. Sounded English there, though.
Exactly. Hey, I was just thinking of, have you seen the show Ted Lasso?
No.
Oh, watch it. Great show.
Okay.
It's basically American football coach goes to England to take over a Premier League team.
Okay.
Hilarious show.
That's good.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV. But okay, moving. Okay. Yes. So what do you think England needs to do better? Like, is it, you think it's just the money? Is it like coaching or the youth?
I think it's a mixture of all those. Of course, funding is a big deal, and it's something that's needed in the UK more than ever right now. They just recently announced they're cutting the under 20 program for next summer. Mm. So that'd be the third straight summer without an under 20 program.
Yeah.
So funding is a big deal. And of course, just the development, the skill development from a youth and then throughout that's the critical years, you know.
Have you been following London Lions? They're actually doing really well in the FIBA Euro Cup.
Yeah, I've watched a few of their games this season.
Yeah, and actually one of the guys that played for Narvik is there.
Rodrigo
Majauskas.
No, Majauskas.
He's there. He played for Narvik. When you came the first year, he was there when Wayne Martin left. He came in after the season. The last year he went to Ukraine. Now he plays for that team. And that team has some names too, like some NBA, ex-NBA names.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they got a good thing going this season.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of, obviously, London is such a, you know, big city and have more funding and they're able to. Now, I think that's what you need in order for countries to grow. You need international success.
Mm. Yep.
Like, if once you have that, you'll see more players, even local players, want to come back and play for the local club or local clubs too. Because I'm assuming England is a big country. They have a lot of team cities and you could find budgets.
Yes.
But the issue is, hey, once you sponsor the team, everyone wants to win right away. Hey, win. But, you know, it doesn't work. Like, you can't just throw money at the problem. And we've seen in Premier League, there's some teams that throw money at the problem and it doesn't work out that well, right? Like,
It takes time.
It does take time.
It took time for City to do it.
Yeah.
Even though they're the one to beat these years.
Right,
but it took them a lot of years to build it up.
I trust the process.
Trust the process. And Did you play on any national teams like you under?
Yeah, played. So under 20, I went to the European Championships. That's where you know started that relationship with Dean Williams.
So that's where you met Dean.
That's where we spent a lot of time together. Of course, I played against him earlier. So I think I was
the same age,
17. Same year, 96. Under 20 was
teammate. This is obviously this podcast about you, but how was Dean as a youngin? Like, was he
the same? Exactly the same.
Was he
super athletic? Like, could do things I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And that same body type.
Yeah. So that was a good. And you played like a 3-4 as well. Like,
yeah.
So you guys played together. So that's a tough. Like, that's a good front court. Yeah. And how did you guys do?
I think we finished 7th that tournament. You know, Iceland was there, and that was the year where they came second, and Cowdy was a part of it.
Yeah.
Hjalmar was there.
They went to the A-League, right?
Yeah, they got promoted.
Oh, this was a B to go. Okay.
So, like, we were around each other without.
Yeah. You know, see how it's so funny? How small.
Did you play them or? Sorry.
No, we didn't play them. No, but we stayed in the same hotel. So I remember, like, I was supporting them when they played like Greece.
So that was your exposure to Iceland for the first
time.
Hey, see how Iceland. The life works in a circle way. Hey, you seen them? Now you 3 years in Iceland.
It's a small world,
it's a small world and a small basketball community, even smaller community. And like same thing, you start playing somewhere. Like now, I've been playing for a while, so now you look up. Oh yeah, I remember this guy. I play against him there. From KR, Darbo,
mm-hmm.
I played against him when I was in Estonia. I played against him when he played for Groningen. or Bakken Bears, one of those teams. I forget which one.
Bakken.
He played for Bakken, and we played, and we lost to them to qualify for Champions League. Mm. We lost away by like 7 and at home by like 5 or 8. So it was a close game, and he was the main starting guard. So like, it's such a small, and even before the game, before the cup game, I'm like, hey, remember, like, you remember me? He goes, yeah, I remember you. It's the kind of like brother, like, you know, you kind of remember guys and you become friends, because we don't have that many people to like hang out with or friends and even to talk to.
Players union.
Yeah, we need a players union. Actually, in France, there's a players union. Yeah. When I played in France, I was part of the players union.
You paid, of course, like, there's a union in France.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, that's a. Then again, Iceland has a bunch of unions except players.
Everyone's union. In a union in Iceland.
Exactly. Okay, so you get your U20 experience, and then what? You decide to go to college, to try college in the States.
Yeah, so.
How was that journey? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Of course, yeah. So I played after school in England. I played in Italy. It's kind of like a prep year.
Okay, so like a prep school.
So yeah, just purely basketball.
Oh, how was that? Like, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, this is fun.
Super,
okay.
Yeah, really great experience.
Like what team was it?
It was Ascoli Towers. So yeah, learned a lot of skill there. Like, I was really athletic before, but yeah, learned a lot of skills that could translate to Europe in Italy. And then from Italy, I always wanted to go to college and have that experience. So I ended up in Wyoming at a JUCO. So I did my junior college 2 years there, which was another great experience.
Wait, how is Wyoming? Like, yeah, I've been in the States for 15, 16 years. One of the things that I don't, like, I never want to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to Wyoming for college. How was that experience? Like, how was Wyoming as a, and it's a JUCO school, right?
Yeah,
so JUCO school in the States is a junior college with only a 2-year degrees. And sometimes, especially coming from overseas, you might have to go that way because either academics or a lot, you are under recruited because there's not as many people looking. Now I think it's becoming more because U.S. coaches realizing there's a lot of talent in Europe and like rest of the world, because basketball is becoming such a
global sport.
Yeah. And yeah, how was the JUCO experience? And by the way, JUCO basketball at the highest level, it's very, very tough. I know some guys who are like big time like players, even playing and Eric McCollum, I think he's a JUCO guy, and he's scored like 81 in China. He's like still playing all over the world. Like, there's a lot of tough guys who can play a really high level.
Yeah, just really quickly. So in Italy, because it was so hard for, you know, I wasn't being recruited, I would send emails to schools. So I'd have my basketball resume and some highlights, and I would send it to what felt like every school in the country, you know.
Hold on. I was really close with my college coach. And he would tell me, hey, look, I got 25 emails. Right? And he'd be like, guys, just like, hey, I'm
this
from...
This guy wants your spot, you know?
Exactly.
It's true. It happens. So I was one of those guys. But yeah, ended up in Wyoming, which I've never been to the States before that. Like, the first time on campus was my first time in the States. So everything was really new. Of course, that kind of country vibe they got over there in Wyoming. But super nice. I've got some of my closest relationships, friendships coming from... my JUCO there. But yeah, really great experience. Of course, everything was new, so it was constantly figuring things out and learning on the fly. But yeah, really enjoyable experience after it.
And then you end up going to Arizona Christian at NEAA school, and it's probably nice to go from like middle of nowhere to a decent sized town, because I think it's like a 9th or 10th biggest city in Arizona, and it's a warm place. I'm assuming the weather is a little better than Wyoming.
So nice.
Wyoming is cold, right, in the winter?
Yeah, it's super cold in the winter. Nice in the summer, but yeah, very similar to here, actually. That wind and snow.
Great weather. This is the what we enjoy. But see, you guys get terrible weather here in Reykjavik. Right now we're recording in Reykjavik, but us in a sunny Kef, we get the most sun. Yeah. You know this. We get the sun, we get the good weather.
I've got some videos that might not agree with that.
Hey, but that was a tough winter that year.
That's true. But yeah, so, you know, moved to Arizona and Arizona Christian, which is in Phoenix, and did my finished out my college career with two good years there. But yeah, really, really great experience with college. Just learned a lot, you know, friendships, relationships, and of course, it was much nicer being in Phoenix, and I think I'll always go back there.
How was your workouts? Like, because a lot of, you know, I thought I was working hard in high school. and then you get to college and you realize you never worked hard in your life. Like, how is that?
I think that is where I learned my work ethic. Like, in Italy, you know, the gym would be open, so we would work out. But college, that first college preseason was no joke. It kicked my ass.
Did you throw up?
Multiple times.
Yeah. Good. It's fine with somebody.
You have to, and then keep going.
Exactly. And the coach, some coaches, like I said before in the podcast, they want you to throw up. If you don't throw up, practice is not going to be done.
You're not working hard enough.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. That was a tough one, but definitely in Wyoming, at Western Wyoming, I learned my work ethic that translates to today.
And I think also in Wyoming, it's not like much to do, so you kind of have to get in the gym.
That's what I tell everybody. If you're not studying, you're going to be in the gym or practicing, you know.
Because if you go to, you know, like big-time school like Kentucky or Duke, and you are in a big, you know,
college town,
like it's guys get the stuff done, but it's a lot of also like partying and social. I mean, every school does partying and stuff, but I went to Albany. I went to my school was in Albany, New York. There's a lot of snow there too, and it's like, you go out once in a while, but like usually it's not much to do. So either you in a classroom or study hall doing work, or you are in a gym trying to get better.
Yeah.
And it was funny when the same thing for me. Like Colin said, I learned my work ethic, you know, obviously from young age, but that kind of helped me to become who I am now. Is my college. And even after games, like I remember we would play Saturdays on like at 3:30. Game would be finished at 5:30. Cafeteria closes around 7:30. And I would go after the game and go get a lift in. And they're like, why are you lifting down? Like, you just had a game. I'm like, because I want to be a pro. I want to be where, and they would laugh at me. And then, like, there's a reason why I'm being now 8 seasons in, and some guys who are maybe more talented than me didn't make it, because sometimes you have to do the stuff you don't want to do. Like, I would go in and at my school, there would be our same gym for us was used for regular students. So if you want to shoot night before, or you want to shoot, like, you got to wait till intramurals are done. You have to wait, because intramurals is for regular students to play, you know, play basketball, volleyball. So you wait till they finish at 11 o'clock or 11:30, and then you go till security kicks you out. And then I got my own key and from the coach, and like to put the hoops down, and the security will come. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm on a list. Oh, okay. And then once they know you, like after a couple of years, they get to know you. Oh, that's Dom in the gym. That's fine. Oh, that's guys in the gym. And many people think that like, oh, college is fine. You know, you do one work. No. If you want to be better, you want to have a goal in life, you want to be a pro, you want to be a successful student, you have to put in the work on the court and in the classroom.
I think that's it. Like, acting like a pro before you're a pro, you know, and that's on and off the court.
And then once you get to the pro, you realize you haven't worked hard enough. Right. Because there's another level to that too. Like, pros work differently as well. Like,
it's never ending.
And never ending. And different levels of pro. Like, if I think I work hard now, you go to the NBA, you'll see, wait. Who said they don't practice? There's hour-long workouts before the team practice and the games and treatment and you. But that's just levels of, you know, same in business, in the business world. You think you're working hard and you get promoted. There's more. You have to handle more. There's more responsibility. Same on a court, same with the athlete. Okay, moving on. Sorry. I know you have listened, so you know that I tend to go on tangents, okay, so your college experience, everything was fun, great. Then you decide to go pro, or you hire your agent. How'd that process go? And you end up going to Sweden, correct?
Yeah, really smoothly. Really smoothly. Started, straight to Umeå, Sweden.
Okay, how was that experience? Because I've heard you say it off the mic, so let's see what you're going to say on the mic.
It was a challenge. Honestly, it was a challenge. Like you said, that transition from college to pro was really difficult for me at first, just trying to find my rhythm, find out how I fit in on that certain team. And then of course there was, you know, some other things going on too that I didn't really enjoy and was making things a little difficult for me. So right before Christmas, the contract was
terminated. By the team or you?
Mutual decision.
Yeah. So, and I can actually, like, when you go, you know, everybody thinks of also pro life glamorous. Oh, it's easy. You're going to just, you do this and you get all the fame after, like, not fame, but, you know, people like you because you make shots. Like my rookie year, I went from starting and playing a lot into playing 8 minutes into not getting paid for 3 to 4 months at all. Yes, Callum is looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah, this is in Lithuania, top league Lithuania. I didn't get paid, I finished the season without four months salary, so they owed me 4 months of salary. So I still, you played through that. Then half of the team left. So at one point we had only six active players. So we had, and in Lithuanian league, you have to dress 8 minimum. It doesn't matter if they don't play, but for warm-ups, you have to dress 8. So then we dressing kind of like almost random, or like coach's son and stuff, just so we put him in a thing. So just so we have 8, so we don't get fines. Then half of the team while we're looking for players to come to the team who's struggling with money, who nobody wants to go. So you're actually looking for youth guys young guys who want a shot to the top league, and money is not the biggest thing for them. Then some people get sick. So now we have practice. We come in with practice. We have 6. I'm only 1 big and 4 guards. So we play some 3-on-3. And then I'm like, okay, you guys just keep going 2-on-2 or something. I'm going to go shoot because this is nothing. And throughout all of this, you have to stay positive. And like, winters in Lithuania is cold too, and I'm away from family. It's my first rookie year.
Yeah.
So like, and I wasn't considered an import because I'm Lithuanian. So they didn't give me a car because they're cheap, which is, all Lithuanian players have a car because they live there. I live in New York City. Like, but to them on paper, I'm Lithuanian. You should have a car. I'm like, okay, so I can't go nowhere. So practice, I drive with a teammate. But I'm thankful for that experience because you learn more from tough times and you go through it. And like in 1 year, I went through so many things that some players don't go through a whole career.
Right.
So I'm thankful for that. And then after that, I kind of, okay, I went through this. I know how to handle this. I know. So now if my latest, I put a clause in my contract. If pay is late, there's a penalty for if you're not getting paid for a month. Because what job would you do that you don't get paid for 3-4 months, you quit eventually. But for me, it was, okay, if I quit, where do I go? Half of the team left. So now I'm starting again, playing great minutes against 2 EuroLeague teams. That year, Lithuania had 2 EuroLeague teams. So, which is also a struggle, because you look at the schedule, and it was 4 rounds. So you might play EuroLeague, Euro Cup, another Euro Cup. You play 4 or 5 teams that you might lose by 30 plus, and you have no chance. People come in, hey, as long as we participate, it's fine.
There's no fines.
No fines. Exactly. There's no fines. And we lost at one point. We lost 23 games straight. So how does that help your team climate? That doesn't help. Everybody's arguing. No, it's your fault. Everybody's not being. So you go through all of that. And the funniest thing is the biggest losing streak of that season wasn't us. It was a team that lost 25 games to start the season. They just moved up. They moved up like Vestri, and they lost. Yeah. Actually, my hometown team, they lost 25 games straight to start the season. They didn't win the game till January or something.
Oh, man.
And they end up going down, and we win the game to stay up in the league. The DG plays, we are the champions. After we won 5 games all season. And it's but that's how, that's the experience. And I'm thankful because that was my rookie year. Some people would, but they would put a lot on the line for experience to be a pro. And you just have to,
But doesn't it make you so much more thankful for a good situation?
Exactly.
When you find a good situation, it really makes you appreciative
of
it.
That's why, I luckily for me, both of us came to Iceland and both of us 2.5 years now, or you a little less than me because you came halfway through, but we both like it here and that's why it's a good situation. And sometimes.
And neither of you has had to lose many games in Iceland.
Yeah.
Your record, Callum?
I don't know.
I know what yours is, but
my record?
Your record?
Yes.
2.5 seasons. You guys lost 1 this season.
Yeah.
You lost 2 5. Games last season.
Regular season. Okay. And then 5.
Oh, 5 8. Before.
Okay, yeah, so. And the first season was 5. Because we were tied with Stern and Stern, 1 game left.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of games.
Hey, my high school career, I lost 8 games in 3 years.
Wow.
It's not bad.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't lose them. And the games we lost was top level, DeMarcus Cousins type or Austin River. You play top level team. And you're like, hey, it's just... But in the league in New York City, we didn't lose that much. And I was lucky enough, my senior year, we won everything. We won 5 championships in 1 year. See, and that, and our women's team won as well. So that has never been done in New York State history ever. Their game, we played in the same facility. Their game was just say at 6 o'clock, and our game was at 8. So they cut off the nets. Now, actually, nobody could, that actually that in New York, in New York State, the, all the championships for the federation, which means there's only two teams left in the whole state. That's the best two teams. They have sections that, you know, class A, B, C, AA, and all the games start like the lower level. The class C starts at 12 or like to say 10, and all the championship games go all the way through till our game, the AAA or AA federation. So nobody gets to cut off the net except us. And I would, and our women's team stayed, and we both got the chance to cut off the net. And like, of course, I have pictures with the net on cutting. It's like the whole it's an incredible experience.
Oh yeah.
But I think going back to like our tough experiences, our rookie year, I think, you know, tough, like tough situations don't last, but tough people do.
People, yeah.
Exactly. So you decide, you decide that Sweden is not for you. Okay, but by the way, how was Sweden as a country? Like,
really nice, really nice. And the Umeå as a city was a really nice city. I enjoyed being there.
Yeah, but was that your first like a Nordic country experience too?
Yeah, first time.
Yeah.
Sweden, yeah. I enjoyed it though.
Yeah, besides the basketball and other stuff.
Besides, yeah, besides some things going on and being unhappy. But yeah, it was a nice place to
be. So you just, and then, you know, you get a chance to come and join us halfway through the season.
January 2nd.
Okay, wow, okay. You already know.
January 2nd, I arrived in Keflavik.
Yeah, I know Dean was happy because that's his boy coming.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we had a pretty successful stint until COVID messed everything up. So how do you think we would have done if the season wasn't stopped? Like, how do you think we would have went to the playoffs?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I mean, we definitely win some games, you know. It's hard to say, oh, we would have won a championship or we would have got to the finals. But I think we win
I think it would have been one of the top two or three teams as favorites to pick.
Yes.
You know, as a, you know how playoffs go, they pick who's the top team. Did you guys pick and were you picking? Were you ever... David, have you ever guys spoken in a media point of view? Like, who, what would have been like?
I'm biased.
I know you're a Keflavik fan. Yes. Okay. So,
but no, I thought Stjärnan and Keflavik were absolutely the two best teams.
Because we were.
The narrative before the playoffs, before COVID shut everything down, was that Keflavik are gonna do better in the playoffs than Stjärnan because it suits their style of play better.
To play, down,
play, but, yeah, play half court. You guys had a team for that.
Yeah, and also, we beat them at Sternen by 10, and we lost at home by 6 or 4 that year.
It was a close game.
Yeah. It was a closer game, and then we added Callum, which was a big piece for us, who would have been, you know, it took Callum some time to join, like, to fit in well with us, but which is normal. Which is nobody coming in halfway through the season. But, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to be, like, averaging whatever. But he was finding his role, and I think it was going to be great for us throughout it. And
I think it's especially hard for a guy like, a player like Callum coming into a team that already has so much of the usage spread out between three or four players. How do I fit in if I'm not the main guy on offense, but I'm kind of in a backup role there? Yeah. What's my position?
Oh yeah,
I think Callum's Chavel game was against Fjernan, not the cup game, league game. Callum had like 50 in like
35.
Yeah. but it felt like 50 in the fourth quarter. You were just like making everything and be like, okay, this guy can play.
Yeah, it was just kind of fine, like you said, how do I fit in? How can I help this team who've already done so much and, you know each other so well? So once everyone started to click, I thought we were in a good rhythm, you know, heading into what would be the playoffs at that time.
Maybe it's easier if you come in as the main guy, as an import. It's like, here are your 25 shots, just show up on defense. Right. Go, good luck, make them.
Yeah.
So...
It's a like one thing you learn when you have more years in the game. You learn carve out your role on the team. Obviously, even if you come in later season, you go to the coach, hey, what do you want me to do? You want me to do this? Fine, okay, I'll do this. Because when you become older, I think when you're young, you're like, oh yeah, I want to get 20 a game, shoot every shot, like, And when you get older, you're like, wait, I want to, you know, I'd rather shoot 10 times less and win a championship, right? Like, what, however successful my personal season was last year, if I could cut it in half and win that series that Colin won, you know, I would do it. Like, it's, okay, where do I sign kind of thing, you know? Yeah. And so, but that's how I think older players kind of see the game now. When you're young, you know, of course, you want to do good and you want to do, I mean, even as older, you want to do good. You want to, you think you want to, whatever, okay, what can I do this game to help my team? Okay, you want me to score 20, maybe it's my game, I shoot 10 times, 15 times. Okay, it's not my game, maybe I shoot only 8 times or like 5 times, but I'll get 15 rebounds or play great defense. And I think that's where once teams figure out whose role is what, and how to do it. And like, of course, everybody has a big part. Even if you're a 12 guy on a bench, you have a big role on a championship level team. They're able to win it. Like LeBron said in one of the finals, I think, be a superstar, your role. If your role is to rebound, play defense, be the best like Dennis Rodman. Be the best at that. Don't you know, Dennis Rodman, one of the most impactful players in NBA history, without scoring some, like there's games he won the game without scoring a single basket. Like,
possibly the greatest basketball player of all time is Dennis Rodman.
The greatest basketball character.
But
think about it. You can get guys that can score 25 and play defense. Many guys can do that. How many guys can play defense like he did and get 25 rebounds or 20?
Yeah, and so, not shoot a ball once. I think a stat line, there's like a 0 points, zero attempts even. I'm like, I never thought of a game playing 40 minutes, not even attempting a shot. You can get lucky by accident, attempt a shot. You tip it in, attempt shot. So 3 years, 3 different teams in Iceland. Are you on a mission to play for every Icelandic team in the league? Or like, who's that? No, like, your thing? No, you're going to be like, okay, next year I'm going to Kaur. So next year you go to Narvik. So you get everybody in resume. So you're going to have a wall of like,
multicolored jerseys.
Exactly.
No, that's not my goal.
how do you like Iceland? How is everything?
Good. Yeah, I do enjoy it here. I do enjoy it. Early in the season, I like it here in Valur. I like being in the city. And everyone's been really good to me, just anywhere in Kef, in Thor, like the people are just great, you know, so that's a big part of it.
It's funny because when people ask me like, hey, where's your favorite place to play? And I always say every place I played in, they have different things that are great about that club or that country. And I think when it comes to Iceland, I think what I like the most about Iceland personally is the people.
Yes.
I like how passionate people and how nice people are, because most people, when they think of like Nordic people, they think of cold, clothesline, closed in,
not as open,
exactly, because it's like Nordic way, kind of the way at least the way I see them on portrayed in movies and show, you know, like that's how you kind of, you know, you judge, not judge, but you kind of, that's your predisposed knowledge of a country. But in Iceland, it was surprising to me, like how nice everybody is, and how, of course, it helps when you're an athlete and you're playing well and the team is doing well. Of course, everybody's going to be nicer. But even when we're not doing so well, people still being nice and supportive. I think that's...
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, weather could be a little bit better, but, you know, but that's just that. Okay, how did you like living at Thor? Like, Thor, so I'm like middle of nowhere, kind of.
Man, it was difficult, and I'll tell you when it was difficult. We talked about it a little bit. Last year, you know, we start the season, we play one game, and then it shuts down with COVID. So there was a time where we were not able to even practice, couldn't work out, and that was when it was difficult, you know, being in the room by myself, not doing anything. Like, that's when I'm watching every show on Netflix and driving myself crazy a little bit. It's a lot easier going to practice, workout, coach, you know, I'm always doing something, but during that time it was challenging, that's for sure.
And like, when you're alone, like also when you do that, when you're so used to that routine, like doing, when they just take it away, like, okay, just now just sit home. I'm like, okay, well, for how long? If maybe first 2 days is cool because you want to just chill, you know, but after a while, like, okay, you wake up, do nothing, eat, and then watch a show. Okay, take a nap. And then wake up. Oh, wait, I'm hungry again. Let me eat something. Let's watch a show. Oh, wait, it's dark now. And then in Iceland, around this time, it's always dark. Mm-hmm. Like, if a day is like, if it's like a cloudy day, you never turn on the electricity in the house.
Last season, they banned basketball during exactly the time when the sun didn't rise.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So
when it's dark out, it just makes you like not want to go anywhere, like not want to do anything.
Like right now, it's like 6 o'clock. It feels like it's midnight.
Yeah, it does.
It's so dark outside. Like, and tomorrow at midnight, it'll be the same. So but then true. The summer is even worse because it's always bright.
Oh, I still like can't believe that.
Yeah.
The summer, I think, you know, even we were hanging out in May, and it was midnight, 1 a.m. and it was just light. Like I kept checking if I got the right time. Yeah. Like,
what happens to me is if you start watching a show at like 9 o'clock or like something like season, and then you look, you know, you see outside it's still bright. Okay, that's fine. And then you look up at a clock. Wait, it's only 1 or like 12:30. Wait, how is it still bright, yes, bright outside? Like it should be.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. Okay, so one day basketball will be done for you. Like, do you have a plan? Do you have any type of idea? What would you like to do after basketball?
What did you study? Sorry.
I'm a business major.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's what I got my degree in coming out of college. You know, I haven't thought too much about it right now. Just locked into the pro grind. But it just has to be something where I can be as passionate as I am with basketball, you know, and translate that over to whether it's in an office or whether, you know, no matter what I'm doing, I just need to find that. And if I can find something that I put all my energy and passion in, like, I know I can be successful at it.
Yeah, I think that's like the hardest part. Once you do something for so long, and you start, we spoke with Loey last episode, and he said it, he was like, hey, like, it's like, he, you know, it's kind of like he's trying to prove himself that he keeps going, but then he's like kind of also a little bit scary. Like, what happens now? Like, what happens? What's next? Like, what happens when I don't have to go to practice? Like, I know a lot of NBA pros or even pro athletes who, you know, do that, and that's a life and their livelihood. And I think also a lot of times we as athletes, people know us only as Dom the basketball player. Mm-hmm. Colin the basketball player.
Right.
They don't get a chance to even get to know, hey, Dom the person. Like, I think I'm a better person personally than a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think same about you. I think the reason I like you, like, because you're a good, naturally good person. Like, yeah, you're great basketball player, but guess what? I think basketball is one thing, but let's be like, I think I like to, you know people for who they are, like good people.
That means more than kind of what you can do on the court.
Yeah, like, because people forget, like, you know, like what's that? Who's that player that you said Bill Simmons spoke about? Rick Barry. Like,
if he wasn't absolutely the worst person, he would be he would be ranked as one of the 20 or 25 best players.
Think about like how like even the doc, like the Jordan doc, portrayed Jordan a little bit. He was kind of an asshole, but like he won and he was successful. But like he was, you know, and if he was worse, obviously Rick Barry is in the same level. But it's just,
yeah,
who is who? Like, some people like, can just be great people, and then they're not as good basketball players, but they know, okay, yeah, he was a great guy, but he also was able to do this, and he does this for Jared. Okay, I don't have many more questions. I have one more. How do you like these new balls, these new basketballs?
Oh, I'm only just now used to them.
What's your percentage?
I'm not sure.
It's not good enough.
It's not where I want it to be.
I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to them. I guess really slippery to me. I struggle to find a grip, especially if I'm trying to shoot quickly. Like, it's just,
they are better than last year, the new balls they gave us, because those were terrible.
Yeah.
Especially when they got a little wet, then it was even worse. So that's why we went back to the new balls.
Yeah.
Or like the old balls.
Yeah.
But these ones, I personally also don't really enjoy them that much. That's why you got to, you know, but that's why you go to the gym. And same thing what you said, I think it's like something with the grip. Even on the backboard, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I guess now we're just complaining about not shooting as well as you should, right?
No, but
got to find a way.
It's an epidemic in the league. I mean, you have a lot of good shooters.
Everyone's
who are
percentages are down.
Down to like 10, 20%, like 35% shooters before, but they are really struggling.
Yeah, yeah. It does make a difference.
Or maybe the teams got so much better defensively over the summer.
I don't think so.
No, yeah. I think it's a part of that, you know. And also, what happens is if you don't do well for a couple games or even practices, you kind of get in your head. Yes. And then kind of it's like the in baseball they have the jits, I think, that when you're in a slump,
yeah,
where you like it's not jitter, but you're like, wait, okay, I know I'm gonna make this anyway. Wait, it's supposed to go in, it felt good, and it doesn't go in, and you start, and then you start changing a little bit, shot or how you release, and then you
overthinking,
and then it's like, wait, now I'm already 2 for 8 today. Like, wait, why? Usually, I'm like, these are my shots that I make, but I think that just takes time, and everybody has to play with the same ball, so it's not an excuse. Mm-hmm. But I think
they've done this in the NBA. They have had new balls that players didn't like, and they have switched them out again. But I'm not sure.
We're gonna do it. Of course not. No, it's fine.
Probably gonna stay this time.
Huh? No, yeah, it's FIBA. But like when I played in some teams, when we played like a European like a tournament, we would switch balls every week, like twice a week. So you play local ball in the local league is one ball, and then you play on the FIBA Euro Cup. It's a different ball, different field. So now, and like all these teams, like EuroLeague or like teams that play in multiple tournaments, it's kind of a new ball every time, every week. You know, you have three games a week. You might play with two different balls. One game one. I'm like, also it takes time to. And we had balls. Okay, we have. 3 days before the game, we would switch out and we shoot only with the balls that we
go play.
Yeah. And then we switch it back and it's just back and forth. So it's kind of also annoying in a way. But that's just because every league wants to be on their own and have the special FIBA versus EuroLeague, the whole issue there. But we can spend another 2 hours just on that.
Of 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks, exactly. Do you have any other questions for Callum?
Just maybe going into what you're going to do after you quit playing. You mentioned, are you coaching in Iceland or have you been
coaching? I'm coaching kids at the minute, yeah. So
what age?
They're 10 and 11.
Girls or boys?
Boys.
How do you like that?
It's good. I mean, of course, it's challenging days. It's that age, you know, but... And the language barrier sometimes too, so...
Yeah, 10 and 11.
Yeah, of course.
And miss a shot in cursing.
But it is enjoyable and it gives me something else to do, you know, instead of sitting around. But
yeah, I also enjoy working with kids, coaching. I worked for my coach's camp for like 10 summers in a row, so I went from reffing to coaching kids all ages. What I found personally, I like coaching older kids better, like maybe 10th grade up, because I try to teach them what knowledge I have of the game. With younger kids, you have to be more fundamental skills, and you try to, okay, passing, cutting. I'm like, and they look at you like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
You gotta slow it down.
Exactly. So to me, it's a little bit more frustrating, even though it's very exciting when they get it. And you're like, oh yeah, finally, we worked on this for a week. Now you know what to do. And it's a different type of joy. But for me, it's like, even when you have like younger teammates, or even when Colin came, you know, I'm like, hey, Colin, like, look at it this way. And he's like, and he does it. I'm like, I told you, it works. Like, but like we spoke about it before, I think that's where, when you become a veteran, when you become an older guy in the team, that's where your role becomes that. The good leaders, I think, lead also tell the guys. And it's not even about me getting open shots, it's about him helping the team to make the right decision or right thing. Yeah. Okay. So, Callum, thank you for coming. I appreciate you for coming and stopping by, or we coming to you, actually.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Callum is showing a lot of character coming here after the game winner.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, game winner.
Yeah, you didn't bring any of that up for the other playoff series. Huh?
Hey, listen.
I see how you skipped over that. skipped over the finals. Okay.
I knew that if I bring up the game winner, he's going to bring up the finals. Because I get into his mind. It's a mind trick. I have it written down. I just don't want to get into this because then it could be a cause of uproar in the fan communities or something like that. But it's always fun to compete against people you like at the highest level. And then even if you lose, it sucks. But it's like, hey, like, you guys were better. Like, and Colin, have you any game winners? You had gamers last year in the playoffs. Or like, no, not game winner.
Big shots.
Big shots.
Not quite
a game winner with a buzzer
beater or a game winner,
Hey, his big shots looks much better than my game winner.
Definitely.
I haven't looked at it yet. I got to dabble in the game and watch it. And I don't really like watching myself
play. Put it on the highlight reel.
No, it's definitely a low light. Literally low because I didn't jump high. It's a low light.
Did you jump?
I jump sometimes. No, but you see.
No, during that play, did you jump?
Even in, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Question. Was it a jump shot or a layup? What is it? If you don't jump and you shoot it, is it a jump shot?
I'm calling travel.
Wait, what's Colin in the picture? Was he on Colin? Where was Colin? I got to rewind the tapes. Let's see what Colin was. Who missed the box out? What happened? Yeah, but, you know, it's also like we spoke about it before. It's fun to hit those shots, but, you know, in perfect world, you know, you don't want to put yourself in that position where you need that shot. Because if you miss that shot, it sucks. And as a player, like, I spoke about Khalil, like, 2 years ago, when he was here, he misses a shot. Like, it was a good shot, a makeable shot. And then you as a player kind of blame yourself. Like, because if we would have lost to Valor, because I had some bad plays right before. I missed a free throw to tie the game. Then I had the offensive rebound. I turned it over on terrible pass to, But anyways, so those, and then if I don't make that layup now, I think of those two plays for next 2 weeks because we don't have any games.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of like not judging, but you being negative to yourself, which is also not the greatest thing. But that's what happens. And I'd rather, you know, those games are fun for the fans, right? Everybody gets, you get to do whatever, but you never want to be in that situation technically because it can go the other way as well.
Yeah, but it's all a part of the game, right?
Yeah, of course. It is. But that's, you know, everything is part of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you for listening. If you guys made it this far, I appreciate you guys. Please follow me on Instagram at GetStrongerBaby or Social Comedian Pod. Send in emails if you have any questions or if you have anybody that you want me to invite to the pod and have a chat with them. Just send in how you feel. Every time I see somebody, some of you that listen, you always tell me how you feel. So don't wait till you see me. You can also just reach out and let me know how you feel. David, anything?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay, see ya. Bye.
Bye.